So how many of you guys played hide and seek as a kid? I think all of us. So how many of you guys still play hide and seek? All right, many of us. Awesome. Most likely with kids, right? Or do you guys have like date night with your husband or wife here? Let's play hide and seek, honey. Hey, something to do. Cheap option, right? But it's one of those games that everybody knows. It's something that we remember from our childhood, and even today we play it. So one person is chosen to be it, right? Counts down a certain number very loudly so everyone hiding can hear it, and then they yell out what? Ready or not, here I come. Well, Jesus came into the world as a baby on Christmas Day. And you know what? There were many people who weren't ready for the Messiah at that time as well. Prophecies were taught and proclaimed. The news of his birth traveled around. The three wise men, shepherds, angels, etc., they heard that the Messiah was born. But yet there was still a lot of people who didn't understand and weren't ready for the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into the world. See, that was the first Advent, waiting for the Messiah to come. And Pastor Rico was touching on this last Sunday, right before communion time, that was the time of the first Advent. And like now, we are counting down Advent Sundays, 1, 2, 3, 4, till Christmas, where we remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, remembering the fulfillment of the first Advent by the birth of Jesus Christ. This Sunday, we're celebrating what? Which number? Second Advent, right? And this is a very symbolic number because we're living, as Pastor Rick was telling us, teaching us last Sunday, during the time of the second Advent. Meaning what? And Christ is coming back. He is going to return. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Our Savior, who is alive, will return. He has promised this. He spoke about it during his time here on earth. The scripture teaches it. And we all have to ask ourselves the question as we live in the second Advent time, are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? First Advent, the birth of Jesus, he came as a baby in a manger, right? A symbol of hope. But his second coming will be very different. Very different. I want to take a look this morning how we can be ready for Jesus' second coming. And Jesus teaches us in this passage some things how we can be ready. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to read 36 to 51. If you don't have your Bibles here this morning, I have the scripture for you on the screen there, and you can read along with me. Matthew 24, 36, 51. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing what he has find so doing when he comes. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him into pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there are quite a few things we can take from this text on being prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. And I want to touch on a few this morning. The first one, don't be too fixated on when. Don't be preoccupied with the exact time trying to guess his return. Why? Because Jesus teaches us that no one knows the hour, the day, or the time of this. The angels of heaven don't know. Not even the Son himself, meaning Jesus, knows. Only who? The Father. But Scripture teaches us, we can understand that we're getting closer to the time of Jesus' return. 2 Timothy, Matthew 24, further in the chapter before what we just read. But no one knows exactly what time. So be careful not to get wrapped up with movements who claim to know when Jesus is returning. Don't be too preoccupied trying to understand and know when. We know from this passage that his return will be like the days of Noah. When the flood came suddenly, people were going about their business, eating, drinking, getting married, working, everyday life. And Noah went in the ark, and the floodwaters came and swept them away. The coming of Christ will be like that, sudden, unexpected. There are a lot of different Christian views. Many of them use Scripture to help us understand that the time is near. Yes, the Bible teaches us that there will be times of persecution, wars, famine, natural disasters, all these kind of increasing, kind of birthing pains of his coming. But they just let us know that the end time is approaching. We're drawing near. But you know what? It's a simple fact that every single day, every dawn of a new day, we are closer to that day when Jesus will return. It's a simple time fact, right? Secondly, keep watch, be alert. Keep watch, what does it mean? Are we supposed to just kind of sit around on our rooftops looking at the clouds waiting for Jesus to come? No. Verses 43 and 44, the illustration of a thief is used, right? You don't sit up all night waiting for a thief to come. Does anybody do that? Sit behind their door at a window waiting for the thief to come? That's the dog's job. That's the dog's job. No, we don't do that, but we can prepare ourselves, right? That's why we have locks. Before you go to bed, you lock the door, right? You have a dog. That's a way to get prepared. The dog watches for the thief for you, right? In the same way, we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ. What does that mean to prepare ourselves? Anyone? Come on, guys. Spend time with God. Study the Word. Prayer. Building relationship with Him. What's the most important thing that we have to have in order and be prepared every single day? Faith. Yes? You guys ever heard of a word that starts with R? Repentance? That's the very first thing that a person does to be preparing themselves for the second coming, is recognizing that we all have sinned. We all have broken God's law. Ever told a lie? Many times. Ever stolen something? Yes. You see, we all have things that we have done that breaks God's law, and we're guilty of sin. But God, in his infinite mercy, sees that we're hopeless on our own, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to pay the price of our sins by suffering on the cross in your place, in my place, to have your sins forgiven. And only Jesus could do that because he never sinned. He lived a perfect life without sinning, without ever breaking God's law. That's why he's called the Lamb of God, perfect, without blemish, slaughtered in your place. We are cleansed by his blood, washes us clean of our sins. So that is the very first and most important thing, is recognizing that we have wronged God and asking for forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. God is merciful. He is gracious because he loves you. He doesn't want to see us perish, but to have everlasting life in him. So it's a daily thing. It's a state of our heart to recognize that we sin and turning from our sin. That's what repentance means, to turn away from our sin and asking for forgiveness and confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Every day, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. We need his grace. Worshiping him, praying, living for him, not being deceived and taken away from the true faith that we profess in him. Third thing, running out of time here, over time already. Be a faithful and wise servant, verses 45 to 51. Simply put, do faithfully what God has put you in charge to do. Pastor Riku was talking about in the interview how it's from God. Everything that we do that is significant for his kingdom is from God, not of ourselves. He gives us talents, gifts, passions in life for a purpose. Yes, we do enjoy these things as well, but there's a greater purpose for our giftings, our talents, our passions, and that is to glorify God, to make his name known. Do you do that? Do you use your giftings, what he's given you, to glorify him? Do you go about his kingdom's work in your daily life? We're here to take care of his business, kingdom business. It's simply summed up by Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 to 21, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." You see, we're to tell others about Jesus, the good news of the gospel, that, hey, there is hope. There is life after death, eternal life in heaven, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more sin. And we get to be in the presence of God, our Creator. What a wonderful day that will be. That's why we as believers, we're not fearful of Jesus' return. We're looking forward to it in anticipation, because we know we're going to be taken up with him to dwell in his kingdom. And truly, if we love others, we want to tell them about this hope in Jesus Christ. It should be seen in the way we talk, in the way we act, how we go about our business on a daily basis, loving our neighbor, even loving our enemies, helping one another. It's all in Jesus' teachings. So we're to go out, proclaim the gospel, see people saved, and then disciple them, teaching them the things that Christ taught us. This includes raising our children in a biblical manner. It's so easy to begin to slack off and lose sight of this in life. It truly is. But don't become complacent thinking, well, Jesus hasn't come yet, so he's probably not going to come tomorrow or the next day. We don't know. And we don't know when the time on this earth ends. You could leave the service right this morning and drive out of here and get in a car accident. And I don't mean to be all dark and a bummer here, but we don't know. Our time could be up this evening. Our life could be taken away from us. And if that resonates, if that scares you, you need Jesus. Because as a believer, death isn't the end of it. There's still eternity. And I'm sure of my eternity being in Jesus Christ in heaven with him after this life. We're here for such a short time compared to eternity, which is forever. Don't begin to slack off on your morals, treating other people badly. Don't become a stumbling block to others. Instead, be a witness to them, encourage them that there is Jesus in a better way. Don't be arrogant, be humble. I could go into these so much more, but we're running out of time, and I want to honor the time that we've set this morning for our service, and we got a meal together. But the thing is, we need Jesus, every single one of us. Why? Because we learn in verses 50 and 51 that when the Lord returns, he will judge us. Every single person will be judged. You can't escape it. And the wise and faithful servant is the one who lives as described in Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And I could go so deep into this. We don't have time this morning, but we'll get to it another time. But the thing is, we need to live according to God's truth. Stand up for what is true, what is good, what is righteous and holy. Are we perfect? No. Do we fail? Yes. But there is grace. There is grace that God extends his hand to you every single day and says, I want to forgive you, son and daughter. Grab onto that hand, because there is no better place. He loves you. He loves you. And Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't leave Jesus in the manger as a baby, thinking that that's it. There is so much more to the story. Our Savior is coming back. I want to invite you guys all to stand up. Let's pray together. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you have that opportunity to make that choice this morning. If you've been backsliding, if you feel that you've sinned before God and you haven't recognized that sin before him, this is the morning to get right with Jesus, with your Heavenly Father. He sees you in this morning. He sees your heart. There is nothing that we can hide from him. And I invite that everybody pray together this morning with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I recognize myself as a sinner before you. I have broken your commandments, your law, and I need your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you carried my sins to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price for me. And Lord, I ask that you forgive me this morning. Wash me clean with your blood. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Savior, the Messiah, and you are my Savior. You are my King, my Lord. I crown you in my heart this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. And I will follow you for the rest of my days. Thank you for your mercy. It is wonderful to know that I have everlasting life in you, Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that you bless this Christmas time in a special way, that people could truly understand who you are, Jesus. That you're not just a baby in a manger. That you're not just a historical person who is a great teacher, but you are the living Son of God. And Lord, we bless each other in your name this morning. Bless every single person here this morning and those who aren't able to make it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.